Is today the day you wish to confess your sins?
Not today. My sins are my own.
You heard about the incident in London?
Blake Molyneux is extremely dangerous. This is our chance. We must get Victor involved.
No one can do what he does.
Not the man I used to be.
The Blackbird is dead.
It has finally come to the big screen. The Michael Flatley movie. He stars in it. He produces it. I suspect he may also write it. It has finally, after many years of waiting, hit the big screen last night. And Jordan Fardy, him off screen time at 6 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, went to view it. John, discuss.
This is a really clever deconstruction of the spy thriller. It's a postmodern hermeneutical. Oh no, wait, sorry, that's the wrong movie. This is terrible. This is bizarrely bad.
You're just saying that because it's Michael Flatley and everybody expects it to be terrible because it's not what he does for a living.
No, that's not it at all. I am a big believer in movies and people going to the cinema, and I talk to a lot of people who make movies, and it is a miracle that any movie gets made. And I'm accused all the time of being too soft on films because I really genuinely applaud anyone who can make a movie. But there are limits, Anton. He directed this, he wrote it, and it is a vanity project which I'm finding hard to find comparison to. I was a big Michael Jackson fan when I was about 12 or 13, and I went to see a movie called Moonwalker in the Savoy Cinema. And I remember even at 12 going, I probably didn't know what a vanity project was, but I remember thinking it's something along the lines of a vanity project. This is a vanity project.
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck wrote themselves into Good Will Hunting and got Oscars for it.
That's one of my favourite movies of all time. That has charm, that has heart. Yeah, it's a bit schmaltzy. This reminded me of, you have this idea of like South American soap operas, and the characters are going, Jesus, I'm in love with you, and I'm also in love with your brother who's a surgeon who died in a helicopter crash. And you have the American voiceover going, Jesus, it is a... That's what the acting in this was like.
So give us the plot. What's it about?
Let me see if I can remember. It's 24 hours ago. So basically we have Michael Flatley playing a former spy. He was part of the Chieftains, a very geographically hard to pinpoint, himself and Patrick Bergen and a few other people. And they were badasses by all accounts. But now, kind of aka Casablanca, he's running, and I know Casablanca's in Africa, but he's now running kind of a Rick's Cafe, a swankier version of that, complete with an infinity suite somewhere in the Caribbean. And literally for the first 45 minutes, it is about guests arriving. The most dramatic thing that happens is he changes Federos regularly. And then Eric Roberts arrives, brother of Julia Roberts, and he has a much younger bride-to-be. And it turns out he's a very bad man who wants to start wars over the world with a secret formula, I kid you not. But Michael won't be drawn. That's behind him now. And he eventually gets drawn into it. I mean, the plot is honestly like something a 12-year-old would write. You know, you watch this movie and you think maybe the only
hang on for a minute. The plot of Iron Man is that a fella gets effectively shot out of a cannon in the desert and ends up having to wire a battery into his own chest to replace his heart. It doesn't have to be believable to be good, John.
Absolutely not. And I completely agree with you. Life is schmaltzy and unbelievable sometimes. Iron Man is brilliant, but that's kind of an original idea. Someone power packing their own heart. There is nothing original in this whatsoever. It lacks drama. The thing that it has going for it, I would suggest, is, and it gives me no pleasure to say this, because in a way, you know, a hugely successful dancer, and hats off to him for that. And I have no, you know, I don't have any axe to grind against him, but it is so bad it might achieve cult status. Like, there's a movie by a guy called Ed Wood called Plan 9 from Outer Space that college kids watch on a Friday night and play drinking games with. I think this is in that vein. And this was a very busy press screening, so it was a lot of hardened types like me at it. And there were audible laughs a lot of the time, particularly when Michael Flatley first shows up. We also have to get
at
to the
moments when there should have been laughs or when there shouldn't have been laughs.
No. At moments when there shouldn't have been laughs. At moments when there should have been dramatic tension. Moments when he was supposedly looking cool and suave. Like the various jackets he shows up in, complete with Dickie Bows and Federos, that got a lot of laughs. A lot of the plot lines, "Forgive me, Father, I have sinned, I'm about to sin again," got laughs when they weren't meant
that
to.
That must be very hard for Michael Flatley to
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't there, thankfully.
Well, there were pictures of him at the premiere.
I was at a press screening, full of angry, twisted people.
Cynical,
like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that didn't matter. No, I'm sure the premiere went a lot better. But I'm not joking. There was a lot of laughter in all the wrong places. The other elephant in the room, maybe elephant's overstaking it, is, but you know, a lot of the women in it are half his age and half the age of the leads. And, you know, this trope of that is in spy movies going back till they were invented, that, you know, the older spy gets younger pretty woman. That's a bit outdated.
Hang on a minute. To quote Tina Fey's great joke, George Clooney in that space movie ended up killing himself so that he wouldn't have to spend any more time with a woman his own age. This is a common thing with leading men all the way around the world.
In a movie in 2022, though, we're getting to a point where we don't do that as much. I should have thought so. This is right from central casting of the 1950s. You know, 60-year-old man has very attractive 30-year-old woman walk into a room and take off all her clothes and, you know, I then asked her to leave. So I just don't think we need to be doing that anymore, you know?
Why did it take 4 years to make it to the screen?
I have no idea. This is like, do you remember Prince's Black Album everyone heard about? Basically, this was shown in 20... You don't know what I meant by that. Prince had this album back in the 80s that was rumoured that no one had ever heard, that was all this very dark. Turned out to be a pretty great album, but it was like you got bootleg copies of it. It was in the ether for years. Where were you in the 80s and 90s? Anyway, this was shown at a film festival of some kind in London without any critics in 2018, and then mysteriously disappeared. Now, then he won an acting award at the Monaco Film Festival last year, which, you know, very odd. And now it's out with wild abandon. The thing is, though, I'm not saying don't go see it, because I actually think you would get quite entertained by this
reasons. What's that movie on which The Disaster Artist is based, that whose name eludes me? The renowned worst movie ever made.
Yeah, that's also eluding me now. It's not Ed Wood. No, I know exactly
you know
what
I mean.
You mean. Yeah,
I tried watching it on the basis that you described, that you would be able to generate some. It was just hard.
But if you look at a movie like The Rocky Horror Picture Show, it's not a great movie, but you can have fun around it. You can play drinking games and stuff like that. I think that Blackbird might be that, and I'm sorry to say it, you know, because anyone who makes a movie deserves some praise.
Well, fingers crossed it finds its audience in whatever form that it does. If you want to hear more from John Fardy, he is on Screen Time 6 o'clock Saturday afternoon. That's it for us from this morning. If you want to listen back to any of the items, they're all uploaded as podcasts. You can listen to on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. You just search for the Pat Kenny Show.